truth. It cannot encompass the truth. It can, a thought at best will give you an aspect of the truth. It can, every thought that you think about anything or anybody is a temporary perspective. When you know thought to be a temporary perspective, thought is beautiful. Thought enables you to do many things. When you forget, when you do not know that every thought that you have about anything or anybody is one of many, many possible perspectives on this person, on this situation, on this place, whatever it may be. When you don't know that, you mistake an interpretation, a thought, a judgment. Jesus used the word judgment a lot. What he's really talking about is thought, because ultimately every thought is a judgment. As long as you know that, it's fine. You can use thinking, thinking arises, but the illusion that anything that you can express through thought can embody the absolute truth is not there anymore. So you are no, that means when your sense of who you are is totally identified with the story that you are telling yourself and others, that is an illusory sense of self, and most people are trapped in it. Not just the people in the Middle East or Northern Ireland or wherever there may be long-standing conflict that's been going on for, in some places, hundreds of years. In what used to be Yugoslavia, they've been fighting for hundreds of years. Every generation absorbs the same mental conditioning, identifies with the same thought structures that says we are right, we are that, and they are totally mind. And then you are a mind-made entity. You don't know who you are beyond that. And all you, your entire life then is designed to strengthen that ultimately illusory entity, me and my story, or us and our story. And that entity is a thought form consisting of different thoughts that come together. And that entity says, me, I, or us, we, and them. And because that sense of identity is so fearful and fragile, because deep down you don't feel that you really know yourself, so it has to be reinforced by having the other to fight against. I define myself when I am trapped in a mind-made, thought-based sense of self, whether collective or personal or a mixture. I am trapped in an illusion that seeks to strengthen itself, that seeks to strengthen its boundary, me and my mental position, my story, my truth. Of course, you don't call it my truth, you call it the truth. And it needs the other to define itself through. It needs some kind of conflict or enemy out there, because then that state of self that is mind-made feels stronger for a moment. And then you need some more. You can see it in your personal life as the need to be right in an argument. The enormous need to be right that has a lot of emotion with it. You have expressed your thoughts, somebody else says the exact opposite and says, you're completely wrong. What do you mean? And this people usually in a situation like that become totally unconscious. What that means, I'm not saying that they faint. They become unconscious. It's almost like fainting. They become unconscious in the sense that they are totally identified with thought. That's, spiritually speaking, means unconscious. Totally identified with thought processes and the emotions that go with them. And that is the energy that happens when there's identification with, total identification with thought as me. A mental position as me. And you can see in relationships, partners, how very easily they start arguing, and it's each person identifies with their mental position. This is how it is. No, it's not. Yes. So, and this has been going on for many thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, and even intensifying that identification with thinking. Intensifying. It was a necessary stage in human evolution. It was this, it's all started with the apple. Because the apple came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is the arising of thought. Yes, no, right, wrong, yes. You can tell the difference between this and that. Thought is the ability to separate, to cut up into little pieces, to analyze. And humanity had to go through it. It was an evolutionary stage, and I'm saying it was, although we are still in it, to a large extent, but we are coming out of it. And as this evolutionary stage reaches its end, the dysfunction increases, because simply it's coming to an end. When it no longer works, that's all. It doesn't work anymore for survival. For a long time, it helped humans to survive. They could think about how to make a trap and do this, and then it has served its purpose. It becomes dysfunctional, just as the caterpillar becomes dysfunctional just before it becomes a butterfly. Life doesn't work anymore as a caterpillar. It's getting too hard. I can't crawl anymore. But of course something in the caterpillar says, no, I'm not going to change. That's just what I am. Always fearful. What's going to happen to me? So this, the conflict in the Middle East is just one example of a dysfunction in the human mind, which this writer expressed in those words. He called it the inability to accommodate a competing narrative, which means to see another perspective and say, oh. And to recognize thought, every thought, as a fragment, not the truth, a fragment. So this, whenever you see, whatever you can say about another human being is a temporary truth, a temporary relative fragment. You can say he's the worst criminal I've ever met. Okay, this is one perspective. Maybe true at this moment. And you may not have seen him interacting with his child. You may not have seen him at the age of 6. You may not see him in 20 years' time when he's enlightened, become free through his suffering. But thought fixes everything. It wants to fix things. This is how it is. Conclusions, premature conclusions that you draw concerning people, events, situations. And the mind is looking out for that. It's waiting whenever this mind-made entity meets someone, it's already beginning to judge. How does this person fit into my thought structures? And then 5 minutes later, it has an opinion. And often, then that opinion is there, it's fixed. And then it's repeated to others. And then people cling to their opinions. It's part of who I think I am. Me as mind. So the movement that is happening in human consciousness, happening now for the first time on a wider scale, because it has to happen for the species to survive, is a movement out of thought, out of identification with thought. The arising of something within you that is deeper than thought. Now, what is thought? Thought is one of the many forms that consciousness takes. Consciousness in humans manifests to a large extent as thought. Consciousness manifests, the one consciousness manifests as an entire universe. Flowers, trees, the planet, animals, temporary formations, galaxies. And in humans, it becomes thought. And to realize the vastness that is there, underneath thought. And that is the arising of a new dimension of consciousness. It doesn't mean that you are not going to think anymore. Thought still comes. But complete belief in every thought that comes, that doesn't happen anymore. In other words, as this begins, you're beginning to have a new relationship to thought. You can see thought that happens inside you. The reactivity of thought, very strong. The reactivity of the thought made me, what's the next thing I can react to strengthen myself, to have a little enemy, at least for a few moments, and in having a little enemy, which can be a situation that I'm complaining about, a person, having a little enemy for a moment makes me feel more strongly, I can sense who I am. You did that to me. It is satisfying to the entity, the egoic entity. For a moment it feels stronger in its sense of self. Every time it complains about something, there's a contraction in my sense of self and also a strengthening of the mind-made entity. And then it's looking out, what's the next thing I can react to? And it sits behind a wheel in the car. Some people habitually, they carry, they're waiting for the next thing to react to, and you might think it's always another person. That is, everyone to some extent carries that inside. This is not a personal shortcoming of yours. It is not a personal thing at all. It is collective conditioning of the human mind. It is a collective structure. The need to react, the need to have a problem, an enemy somewhere, it's unconscious. When you make it conscious, when it happens, you see it. I'm right. And you feel the emotion that goes with being right. With your partner, wherever. And it's an amazing thing when you watch that in yourself. You can see it in others more easily, of course. Look how unconscious he is. God. I can't believe how unconscious you are, says the God. To see something in oneself, a reaction, a identification with a mental position, and suddenly to see it, perhaps in the middle of it, is enough. And not even to say, oh, I shouldn't be having that reaction. I'm an advanced spiritual person. I shouldn't be having that. Something is wrong here. But there it is. And the advanced spiritual person, how does one become an advanced spiritual person? Does it require a lot of knowledge or some arduous practice of self-denial through beating yourself up or sitting in the cold for hours, meditate? I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. The advanced spiritual person is the person that allows this moment to be. Oh, is that it? Allows this moment to be because why should I allow this moment to be? Because it is. Because it always is as it is. No. Yeah, but it shouldn't. But it is. Yeah, but this is not how should. It still is. And then you see that you go through life, or you have been going through life, a lot of your life has been an inner no. And the egoic mind-made entity thrived on the no. It thrives on having enemies. It doesn't need to go as far as to make you into a suicide bomber. It could. That's an extreme manifestation of the same thing. It thrives on that. And then, of course, it says, I can't allow this to be. There are so many things in this world that should not be. There are so many things in this world that are unjust, unfair. So much suffering, so much this. So yes, of course, that is true, that there's an enormous amount of suffering in this world and in yourself. Suffering is present in every human being in different forms. In the affluent West, the there is an enormous amount of suffering too, not perhaps on the material level, mental, emotional suffering. And the illusion is to believe that when I allow this moment to be, I will become ineffective, I will become passive, and nothing is going to change anymore. I will be stuck with this dreadful moment for the rest of my life. So to get rid of this dreadful moment, I've got to fight it. And then, of course, the next moment, which is the same as this moment, dreadful again. That state, and here we have an approach, another perspective on what it means to be fully awake here and now. We pointed already to the helpful fact that you can feel the inner body as you sit here, even now. That takes you out of the stream of thinking and thinking. And then you can become conscious of this moment instead of running away from it or internally denying it, fighting it. You can become conscious of how things are right now. This is how things are. And you allow. And what is could be a reaction inside yourself. It could be an old, and then you see it and don't make it into a problem. And you watch the emotion that comes with it. So there it is. You allow that. So you don't become an advanced spiritual practitioner by achieving something, total control of all my inner states and total control of external conditions. I am in total control of my life. This is, of course, the ego feels, I need to stay or lie awake in bed all night because I have important problems to think about. If I don't worry, my life is going to fall apart. I'll be irresponsible. Or as one famous actress said, I read in the paper some while ago, who by the way is always ill, she said about some situation, she said, I wouldn't be human if I didn't worry myself sick about it. And worry is identification with thought, useless thought, a lot of it, of course. Even psychologists who are not interested in spiritual matters have recognized that 95% of our thinking is pretty repetitive and useless. So, and one way of stepping out of it, that entire conditioned movement needs reactivity, needs opposition, needs resistance. It's the mind-made entity. So when now the possibility arises of living in a different way, And if it were not happening already, I could not make it happen to you. The fact that you are here and recognize something, some truth that you already know, that is already happening inside you, that means you don't need convincing. You recognize the fundamental truth of living, that there is the possibility now, perhaps there wasn't before for most humans, that there is the possibility now of living in alignment with the suchness of this moment, inner alignment. And that is the state out of which, amazingly, effective action comes. Because an intelligence that is greater than the conditioned movement of thought is suddenly able to operate in and through you. And so that state of complete alignment with what the Buddha actually called the suchness of things, which is always what is here and now. I call it the form that this moment takes. This moment, of course, is the only moment there is. Is it? No, I don't agree with that. There is a next moment. Okay. That was somebody's mind. There is only this moment, ever. Nothing could be outside of it. Couldn't. Nothing could happen outside of it. It's not, it has to be now for anything to be. Being is now. Life can only be now. You could remember something that happened. How was it possible that this happened? It happened in the field of now. It happened when it was now, and I remember it now. Now is the only reality it has. And the future, there seems to be so much of it, until there's very little. And that can be frightening. Your future shrinks. Your past grows. And you are gradually pushed out of your life. On one level, past and future seem so real. Time, past and future. On one level, yes, you can't deny it, that there is such a thing. Time, everything passes so quickly. It's fleeting. Gone. Gone. My childhood. Gone. My first marriage. Gone. Second marriage, gone.